5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
And we're back into another edition of Sly July, where we talk about a movie today that is far from enjoyable as we felt Demolition Man was.
Yeah.
If you listened to Demolition Man last week, thank you very much.
Yes.
If you didn't, please go on over to your podcast app of choice and take a listen as we talked about a very fun 90s action romp starring the titular Sylvester Stallone.
Yes. And this is a movie that we had heard of and is historically bad.
Mm-hmm.
We'd never seen it. And I was like, this could be fun to talk about because it could be like a really fun, bad movie to talk about. And it is not.
No, it's just...
It is a nothing movie.
Yeah, it's the film today, as you've seen as the title of the episode, is Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
No, like, Steven, you have to say it like, Stop! Or my mom will shoot!
That was so stupid.
I watched a video about it, and the guy doing commentary on the video said that when Sly delivered that line, you can see the dignity leaving his body.
Yep. Because that's exactly what this... I mean, this movie... This was at while he was riding the wave of just really doing... Outside of Rocky V, just was doing... comedies so far in the 90s. This was 1992. We'll get into more of the little nitty gritty here in just a second. But he had come off of Oscar, which is a comedy,
which we talked a little bit about in the first in our first entry into Sly July.
And then he does this because the infamous story is Arnold Schwarzenegger tricked him into doing it because Arnold said, "Well, I'll do it," and that
I'll do it.
And Arnold and Sly were very competitive.
Yeah,
and Sly was like, "No, I'll do it. Let me do it." And then Arnie was like,
"I fooled you, because I am the shit. I'm a baller. I'm a baller, and I'm a shot caller."
Yeah, exactly.
And Estelle Getty was tricked into doing this movie.
Yeah.
Not because they're like, well, we got Bea Arthur on the other
exactly.
line.
There was no competition between her. Between
no, but
the
it
two
literally
them.
Was just, she's like, there's guns in this movie. I'm not doing this movie. And they're like, no, there won't be any guns. She's like, okay. And then there are guns. And so they tricked her into this movie, too. A lot of trickery going on. It doesn't sound like a lot of people wanted to do this movie.
The two main stars were tricked into doing this movie.
Which makes a lot of sense.
It shows. Like Matt said earlier, it's a nothing movie. But we'll get into that here in just a second. But before all of that, Matt, let everyone know where they can find
us. Yes, you can find us on social media. You can find us on Instagram. We're at The Radcast. Cast is spelled with a K. Radcast is all one word. And as far as podcast apps go, you can find us on all the major ones. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, not Stitcher. Come, I think, August 29th.
Yeah, no more Stitcher.
No more Stitcher. But in the meantime, you can still find us on Stitcher. Overcast, you know, all of
Amazon
them.
Amazon Music,
all of them, and wherever you can rate and review, it helps us out.
Yes, please do, because we put ourselves through this misery for you.
Yes.
So please do.
Yeah.
So, Stop! Or My Mom Will Shoot! Was released February 21st, 1992, directed by Roger Spottiswoode. No, thank you.
I saw it.
It's
not very big.
No need to spot it. She showed it to everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Starring Sylvester Stallone as John Bumowski. Estelle Getty as his mom, Tootie. Jo Beth Williams as Gwen Harper. Roger Reese as Parnell. Martin Ferrero as Pauly. Gaylord Sartan as Monroe. Gaylord Sartan is... in the Ernest movies.
Yeah, I was like, that guy's from the Ernest movies.
He does the squealing noises, does a thing with his eyes.
Ernest Saves Christmas.
John Weasley as Tony and J. Kenneth Campbell as Ross. And there's an appearance at the beginning by Ving Rhames.
I saw on IMDb, it made it seem like he had a bigger role than
he did. Hey, we have the meats.
Yeah.
Arby's.
Yeah. He's done some movies.
He's the voice of
he's
Arby's.
He's been in most of the Mission Impossible movies.
Hey, we have the meats.
He's
in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
But
Don King.
Don King, yeah. And with a box office of $70.6 million on a $45 million budget. I think that's
how did
what
this make money?
That's what annoys me the most, because people are like, it was a flop. It's like, nobody told the box office it was a flop.
Yeah. Now, yeah, it granted, people look at box office a lot to prove if something was a success. It doesn't mean the thing was a good movie.
No.
It just means people went and saw it. They paid money to go see it.
It was absolutely panned.
Oh, yeah.
By
I guarantee you they saw the trailer, and they're like, oh, Sylvester Stallone, it's Gloria from the Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm.
She's easily one of, if not the best part of Golden Girls. Sophia from Golden Girls. And so it's like, oh, well, this is going to, you know, she's going to be a wise ass and stuff like that. Nope.
We want the wise ass Sophia as his mom, Tootie.
That would have made it so much more bearable.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, yeah, she's nice, quote unquote, nice and sweet. But this woman is so miserably overbearing,
mm-hmm.
and has no self-awareness and no sense of proper boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that's the joke.
Yeah.
The joke is she treats him like he's still like 7 years old.
Yeah.
And that's the joke they stretch for 80 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it wears out its welcome so fast.
Oh, yeah. Just like this was a nothing movie, this is a nothing VHS open.
Yeah.
So the VHS open is a movie called Red Wind that has called Fred Gwynne.
Oh, right.
The Herman Munster.
Yeah.
George Wendt.
Yeah.
Norm from Cheers.
Where'd he go?
He went to where everybody
he
knows
went
your
that
name.
Way.
Yeah.
Where everybody knows your name.
But it's a movie called Red Wind. Christopher McDonald is in it. He has a mustache, the same mustache he had as his character in Dutch.
Which Jo Beth
Williams
has
in
this movie.
Almost the same haircut as she did in Dutch.
Yeah, I saw it. I was like, she just looks like her character in Dutch. And that's,
mm-hmm.
that's the only good thing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a faux classroom presentation of the evolution of home entertainment, which at the end talks about going to places to pick up copies of previously viewed movies, a cheaper way to build your collection.
Oh.
Something like that. And like, make sure you go and pick up your copy of previously watched Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. And I'm like, there's a reason people probably
got rid of it.
And it's previously viewed. They viewed it once and they're like, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
So like you said, the whole movie is pretty much Joe's mom infantilizes him and it's obnoxious.
So I screenshotted the plot
mm-hmm.
from Wikipedia, which is only 3 paragraphs long.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to read it here.
Yep.
And
that may
we'll
just be the episode.
Go from there, okay. Because this is the whole movie.
Uh-huh.
'Cause even bad movies have, when they're talking about the plot, they go scene by scene.
Right.
This doesn't. It's literally Sergeant Joseph Andrew Bumowski, Sylvester Stallone, is a tough cop. His seemingly frail mother, Tootie, Estelle Getty, comes to stay with him and progressively interferes in his life, driving him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
After cleaning his gun with bleach and finding out she ruined it, Tootie buys him an illegal MAC-10 machine pistol
mm-hmm.
and witnesses the murder of one of the men who sold her the gun. Tootie is taken to the police station to give a statement and starts poking around in Joe's cases. She learns the gun she purchased was part of a collection taken from a burned building and the gun insurance money was received. On her way back home, Tootie recognizes a man that at the airport. He flees when she and Joe follow him, and Tootie remembers she saw him in America's Most Wanted for shooting his mother. Like,
they skipped the entire third act portion to where, and we're gonna
you see what I mean
skipping around like
here, but here's the thing with this Wikipedia is like I was taken aback because
yeah.
there's so much stuff that happens in, like I said, Wikipedia will at least give you rundowns
yeah.
of scenes for
yeah.
the most part leading up. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
It's literally, she cleans his gun, she buys it from an illegal arms dealer, one of them is murdered, she witnesses the murder, and basically she's
and
just
jumps to the end.
Yeah.
Like the after the big baddie's apprehended, which I have stuff
now,
to say about that.
Now, let me fill it in here, because I watched it again this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I watched it twice.
Oh, okay. I only watched it once.
Yeah. So once she interferes in his cases,
mm-hmm.
and basically it's just scenes of her interfering in every
waking moment she can.
Like, not only in his personal life, but anything he's going to try and get leads on the case,
mm-hmm.
she inserts herself in.
Yeah.
And basically, they
there's just scenes where, oh, they find, oh, it was an insurance thing. Oh, the main villain, you don't really get anything on him until, like, the last 30 minutes of the movie.
Three moments to where we see the main villain. There's his two heavies or whatever. One of them was in Jurassic Park. He's the lawyer.
Martin Ferrero
He's the blood-sucking lawyer. And then, needlessly, his partner, who we said is from Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yeah. He's from a few Ernest movies, he's in a few of them. I remember him from the most.
But he just randomly has, like, the flu. Like, because he's just sneezing
Never bring it back around to that.
Yeah, but it's like, it's the two of them looking over this overpass at when Tootie's buying the gun from the illegal arms dealers.
Who, one of the guys is the, what are you, crazy?
I forgot to write him down. I like this guy.
Who's been in, like, Suburban Commando. What are you, nuts? Yeah. We'll sue you.
The fat guy with the beard.
Yeah.
You kind of talks like this.
Yeah. Pretty sure he was in Home Improvement well.
Yeah.
But I like his character in this movie.
Yeah. But it's that guy and his brother are illegal arms dealers.
Yeah.
And apparently they're selling guns that weren't burned up in the warehouse fire that if they get out that there's dealing on the street, it can blow back on the bad guy. But all we see is the two henchmen, and we kind of see the bad guy's profile in frame when he's talking to them. And then that's one time, and then, like, 25 minutes later, we see him talking to them again, we see him, like, meeting up with them in his office, and then
Sly and
Tootie
come in to do, like, a good cop, bad cop
thing.
Yeah, to,
like, ask him about, like, because they learn that he probably orchestrated the burning of the warehouse of the weapons to collect the insurance, and then there's two other moments. But all in all, there is no buildup to this bad guy. There's almost nothing to show he's this person not to be messed with. There is no danger, really, outside of at the end when he takes Tootie hostage because she is meddling in Joe's affairs again, after it seems like they came to a resolution of, okay, Joey, I'll stay out of your life.
Yeah.
She puts herself in danger outside of her being held by a semi-automatic, like, machine gun to the head. This bad guy is not dangerous at all. I forgot his name until I looked it up on IMDb.
Yep.
It's Sheriff of Rottingham from Robin Hood Men in Tights. But it's just there's no build, there's no characterization to this bad guy other than he's a copy and paste businessman who seems he does things above board, he's a slime ball with two henchmen and blah blah blah.
The actual conflict is secondary to the exploration of the relationship to which it's like I get it, like, but there's no really any character growth. And then when it happens, it's like, oh, it's kind of forced. It's like, oh, it's happening because it's, like, supposed to happen. But the whole movie is just a patchwork of scenes of her basically treating him like he's doing something,
exactly.
And she is doing something that's humiliating or embarrassing him.
Yeah.
And it's played for laughs, but it's like it's a complete unwillingness to see him as a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lack of proper boundaries. She has no self-awareness. She doesn't understand that she's, you know, it's like, oh, you're just my little boy, and, like, I'm doing what I think is best for you, kind of thing. And it gave me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, because she also gets defensive whenever
he
tries to say, yo, mom don't do this, like when she cleans his gun, which starts this whole mess. Like, I really, really got upset, or not upset, it really bothered me because when that happened, because he wakes up and, you know, they also try to give her, like, their Dirty Harry one-liner. She does too many Terminator references or whatever. It's funny because it's coming out of this little old Italian lady's mouth.
Yep.
But he gets upset because she takes it upon herself to clean the house in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night. Which, his house is not dirty.
No.
She walked in. He has a nice house. She's like, this is your house? It's like, don't you clean? He's like, Mom, I cleaned this morning. He's like, there's dust everywhere. It's like, if they wanted to portray that effectively, walk in and there's like dirty clothes strewn over the back of a couch, just pizza boxes everywhere, dirty dishes. That way you can justify her being like, yeah, no, this is a dirty house.
Yeah, where he's like, Mom, I like my life. You like living in squalor? Like something like that.
Exactly.
Like, I raised you better with that. That would at least be understandable.
This house isn't dirty.
Yeah, like, or he hears the vacuum going and then like it'd be a funny little bit, and well, quote unquote, funny little bit to where we don't. He hears the vacuum going. We hear her like singing, and then he's like, "Ooh," because they show him in his room, like putting the pillow over his head.
Yeah,
And he gets on all fours for some reason in his bed,
so we can see Sly's ass.
Now,
granted, I will say he did shove a bunch of stuff in the closet, and there's a bit she opens it. He's like, "Well, I the maid left or whatever." And it's like, she's probably still in there.
And then he wakes up. Like, we don't see her vacuuming, and then he wakes up and sees the house is all clean. He's like, Mom, I don't know where anything is. She's like, now don't give me that. Sit down and eat your breakfast. And she takes it upon herself to make this big breakfast for him. Yeah. He's like, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
It's this no doesn't mean no.
Yeah.
But the thing is, so she cleans his gun. She takes it upon herself to clean his gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wakes. He wakes up and it's being pointed in his face. And she's like, I cleaned your gun. He's like, Mom, you ruined it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
She doesn't know
this.
How to clean a gun.
Yeah. So she uses like one of those wire brushes and cleans it down the barrel. And, and he's upset. He's like, you know, you ruined my gun. This is a part of my job.
You are wrong here.
And she gets upset. She's
like, oh, you try and do something nice and get my bark. That's the problem with those kinds of people, is that it's like they victimize themselves. Mm-hmm. They have in their head, they're like, I'm going to do this nice thing, and they're going to feel this, and they're going to be so they're going to be so grateful and stuff. And then when they're under, you know, they create that narrative in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone understandably acts realistically, like, what the, I didn't ask you, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. I didn't ask you, ruined this. And they get, because it didn't go the way they were hoping, they take it personally and they victimize themselves rather than being like, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't even ask.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
And I think it's worse with parents of a certain generation.
Yeah.
Because.
And I will. Yeah. I want to get out in front of this and say, Mom, we're not talking about you.
No. Yeah. That's one thing when watching this.
We're
knowing,
just talking about,
I was like,
this generation. Yeah. That sort of generation and that sort of person in general.
We're not direct. This isn't directed at you. Anytime we have said to our mom, you know, in a way, you know, Mom, boundaries. She's good about. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. And
yeah.
She, you know, she's good about changing course. You know.
Yeah.
So I definitely, you know, I will give that to our mom, but no, this isn't directed at you. But there is this idea, parents of a certain generation, to where because I'm your parent, that means now I have carte blanche to voice my opinion in your life, to
insert myself
in your life this way, to try to dictate your life this way, even if it's not direct, you know, indirectly doing these things.
I'm going to manipulate your life into what I think is best, because I know you the best.
Because I'm your parent, you are to respect that instead of allowing myself to be an adult and not thinking I'm incapable of being an adult because I'm not living my life how you think I should live my life. And that's what Tootie does to Joe all the time. And I got some more thoughts about that Tootie-Joe relationship. I will, you are allowed to continue whatever you were doing.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Okay. So also the movie doesn't do a good job.
Also, don't tell me what to do.
Geez, you try to do somebody nice for, try to do something nice for someone.
I give you the floor.
But I let you talk on my show.
Yeah. I will say, originally Sylvester Stallone wanted his mother's character. Like, he wanted to be scared of her because of, like, childhood drama.
Yeah.
Trauma, excuse me, because she was mean and wicked and stuff like that. That would have added a level of humanity and depth to that character.
Yeah.
He's just kind of, he's either whiny or he's angry the whole movie. Like, even his line delivery, like when it's like, Mom, what are you doing to my guy?
Like, oh, come on, Mom.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and she also, there's a scene to where he's just taking a shower and she just busts in.
Yeah.
He's like, Mom, what? I'm trying to take a shower. Just a lack of privacy. Mm-hmm. He's like, you don't have anything I've never seen before. It's like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I was thinking I could come by the police station today and, you know, spend the day with you or whatever. He's like, no, Mom. And it's out of the question.
I have a job to
like,
do.
Like, he's the one that's being unreasonable. She's like, okay, we'll talk about it at breakfast. He's like, there's nothing to talk about. Like, as she closes the door, it's like, that's not funny to me.
No.
I know that's played for laughs, and it was a different time. Yeah. I get it. And I shouldn't take it so seriously, but that's just not funny to me,
because
I've witnessed that sort of relationship and dynamic. And I'm like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's a result of emotionally immature parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is, the movie doesn't do anything to endear either character. Like,
no.
You don't feel bad for Joe that his mom's being intrusive. Mm-hmm. They don't make Tootie this endearing character.
No.
She's just a burdensome, obnoxious mom who thinks she's entitled to her son's life.
Yeah.
He tries. It's annoying because, like, he tries calling her and she never picks up.
Mm-hmm.
Because
every time you call me, you have to tell me that you had something come up and I can't come in
town.
That's
petty.
Yeah.
That's so petty to be like, so I just decided to come my way. She's always embarrassing him by showing photos.
Yeah.
Like, they could have taken opportunities to at least shown how effective she can be as a person. Just like, there's this scene to where Joe has to go up and try and talk somebody down from a ledge because there's this guy who's going to jump.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, well, Tootie is going to show this motherly care and wisdom to the jumper.
Because like, the guy's on the ledge because she's like, officer, what's the problem? It's like, yeah, he's having problems with his mother. And she is like the motherly figure
for him. She'll talk him down. But instead, it ends up being her embarrassing Joe by showing the crowd pictures of him.
Yeah.
By like, Joey, do not talk to me like that. Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the jumper.
Wave to the people, Joey.
Yeah.
You know.
And the joke, quote unquote, is the jumper's like, man, I thought I had it bad with my mom. And then like, you need to talk to your mom better. And he gets off the ledge and as he's walking down the steps, he's telling the officers, that guy's got some issues.
So I will say that is the only scene played for comedy to where I was like, okay, that's honestly a pretty good, you know, like joke.
Right.
To where like he's going to talk the guy down and it morphs into the guy's like, oh geez, I thought my mom was bad
they
kind
make
of thing.
Summer,
he's like, sorry for inconveniencing. Yeah. He's like, no, it's fine. And then so now Joey's the one on the ledge and he's like, that guy's got issues and stuff.
And the thing is, if they hadn't have come off of like everybody, he's at the airport picking up his mom. If that hadn't been seen before to where all the passengers and flight attendants are like
that
giggling
must be
at
little
him.
Joey's.
And then you see she's around all these like flight attendants like showing these embarrassing photos. And I'm like, I just was annoyed by that.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed by parents. I don't know. It's maybe it just gets under my skin that like
it's humiliating
when you tell when you're a parent and you tell your work friends or complete strangers about like embarrassing things you did as a kid or things that would perpetuate maybe like a boomer's mindset of like a lazy kid or a snot-nosed kid.
Yeah.
And I don't like that because it's just, it's one of those things where you are giving the perception of me to a complete stranger and I can't defend myself.
Yeah, exactly.
This
exists in my head. I'm not saying it just exists.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people go, you're portraying me a certain way to someone without them actually getting to know me.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. I think that just really like got under my skin because it's very much you're embarrassing him.
Yeah.
And people look at him as an embarrassment.
Right.
But the thing is, the issue I have, Joe doesn't do anything to help. Joe doesn't do anything to help himself.
He's pretty sucky too.
Yeah, he very much still bends to the whim of his mom.
Yep.
And he doesn't stick up for himself. And
he does towards the end, and then she's like, don't talk to your mother that way.
Yeah. Well, near the end when like she another manipulative thing was like, if you don't want me around, I'll just get out of your hair. She like leaves a letter to him as she leaves. They're at the airport and he stops this cart she's on going to the terminal or whatever. He gives these rules of living with him, which he gives in the middle of the movie, which he should have given at the first sign of her annoying him. It just was weird that the timing he gave them, but it's all these like these rules she doesn't jive with. So she has an issue with it. So when they're at the airport, they have a heart to heart. And it's supposed to be endearing, I guess. But it's supposed to tug at the heartstrings.
Yeah.
But it's not effective.
Yeah.
To where it seems like they've come to a consensus. I'll follow your rules, Joey. I'll give you some space.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and Joe finds out the bad guys are trying to fly away and they're at an airport.
Yeah.
You know, this airport hangar. And he's like, all right, mom, like They're at his apartment, and like the big fat guy arms dealer like shows up, and you know, he thanks Joe for earlier saving his girlfriend who's being, you know, questioned by the bad guys.
There was stuff where henchmen go and threaten like the there's, like I said, the plot, the actual conflict is secondary.
Yeah.
Like the bad guy conflict is secondary to the relationship between him and his mom.
He comes by and it's another comedic voice of like an outsider being like, man, you really talk to your mom like that? They're like, man, man, that's your mom. Jeez. I thought my mom was bad type stuff.
Yeah.
But he, Joe hears about from the fat arms dealer that they're going to be here and this is the role they're playing and blah, blah, blah. So he goes off to the, he's going to the airport terminal to conduct a proper apprehending of the suspect. Yeah. And he's
on his police radio.
He handcuffs his mom and the fat arms dealer to the table. And she takes umbrage with this. So it's him at the airport hangar, like trying to conduct it a proper way.
Yeah.
And then his mom is like getting out of the handcuffs.
Yeah.
And, I did kind of like how she talked with the fat biker or the fat biker with the fat arms dealer. And then
he's probably a biker too. Then dressed like one.
She shows up after they had this heart to heart that she wouldn't impede on any of the rules he's setting. She becomes intrusive. She inserts herself in the situation again and she ends up showing up, stealing the fat guy's van, showing up at the airport hangar, getting herself taken hostage, which messes up Joe's investigation.
Yeah.
Now Joe, like, she's put
he's
on a plane.
Gotta go save his mother.
Yeah, now Joe has to save his mom, put his life in danger, and then they all almost get shot, and she ends up shooting the guy, the bad guy, whatever his name is. And it's just one of those things where, like, there is no resolution that sticks.
No. There's so many ways it could have been written differently, too. Maybe she gets on the horn with Gwen, and she's like, listen, Joey is at the airport hangar, you know, stuff. It's like, and she shows up with Gwen, and she gets out. It's like, is this okay, Joe? It's like, yeah mom, it's okay.
Gwen is Joe Beth Williams. She's his captain.
Yeah.
And she's also his girlfriend, and they have a back and forth.
There's so many
relationship.
Like lazy things put in there, and there's like little nuggets in there, like where maybe they're having a heart to heart, like where she's talking to Gwen about like how good of a boy he is, and like how he handled the family, like after
the
death.
That's the one good part with what they did.
There's a couple things, like when they're in the park and he's going through like the case files, and he's like, oh, it looks like, you know, they're basically talking about how they're collecting the insurance and stuff. And there's a few things where it's like, you know, mom, you really are something. I'm like, you can't do this though, like, because she's been an insufferable monster. That's probably a harsh way to put it.
Yeah.
She's
been insufferable.
She's been in a pain in the neck the whole movie. And now you want me to see, she's not that bad.
She doesn't really learn anything. Nobody learns anything.
No.
Like, Joe is just spineless. Whenever he puts his foot down, his mom gets up in arms about it. And then she ends up manipulating him into apologizing.
Yeah. And then she gives him advice. And they try to do the whole, you know what your problem is? Like, you don't want people to get close to you. You always push people away that she's trying to portray.
Yeah.
And it's like, I needed to write this down. I was like, it's one of those things. It'd be different if, like, the whole movie, it was like she's trying to be involved in his life, and he's like, "No, ma, not now. I'm too busy." And he's caught up in this case and stuff. In a case, obviously, he doesn't get to this point without her witnessing a murder. But he's caught up in another case. He's caught up in his life and like hit this shit with Gwen, and then stuff at the police station, and like she's. She's sweet and she's taking care of him as her son and stuff like that. And like, but he keeps ignoring her. And finally, this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. And she puts her foot down after all this time of observing his life and trying to like offer pearls of wisdom. And then she's finally like, you know what your problem is?
Yeah.
Da, da, da. That would have been way more effective instead of her just being intrusive and annoying the whole movie. And now we're trying to side with her.
I tell you what it is. It's the Del Griffith moment in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles after Steve Martin goes off on him in the hotel room. And it's the, I like me.
Yeah.
My customers like me. You know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like that to where she's like, you know what, Joey? Maybe I am being a little overprotective.
Yeah, she acknowledges it.
She's like, and maybe I don't know a lot about police work. I understand that. And yes, I do need to let you be your own man. But if there's something I know, it's something about X, Y, and Z. And you know what your problem
it's
is?
It's about falling in love.
You're not letting anybody in. Let somebody love you, Joey.
Yeah.
Let somebody love you.
Exactly.
Like, something like that. Like, it's that.
If you're still going to make her annoying and stubborn, mm-hmm. at least have her have a point where she, you know, yeah, maybe I am being a little overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm treating you like a child. You know, just have her acknowledge mm-hmm. it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where they don't do anything to help that case, and then they don't do anything to show that Joe solved something for his life to
yeah.
better on his own.
Yeah.
It's always under the guidance of something
yeah.
his mom does. He cracks the case. He makes headway in the case. He ends up taking on the case because of his mom, because of his
yeah.
mom placing her in it. And
yeah.
then something that's annoying is there's this dickhead officer named Ross that
yeah.
Joe doesn't get along with. But Ross is assigned the case, and Joe wants to honor that. He's like,
it's Ross's case.
You talk to him. And
yeah.
she willingly withholds evidence and willingly, like, doesn't cooperate.
Information. Not necessarily evidence.
Sorry, withholding
yeah.
information.
Yeah.
She withholds information. She withholds telling Ross things so that
which
he can do his job.
Which is illegal.
Yeah. So that
I
Joe
think that's
can
an obstruction
have,
of justice.
Yeah, so that
yeah.
Joe can have all the information. I want you to move up, Joey. He's like, I want to get you
that promotion. You're getting closer to Gwen.
He's like, I like where I'm at.
Yeah.
Like, I like my life. I like where I'm at. I like all these things. And again, those are the things that she can be like, all right, you like where you're at. Okay. It's not my place to try and say whether or not you're happy. But one thing I do know that you need
yeah.
to change, mister, like
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that would mean more,
mm-hmm.
but everything is under the tutelage of Tootie, and nothing changes without her guiding him,
yeah.
guiding Joe to do it. Like,
it's like, you know what, Mom, you're right.
Yeah.
It confirms to
yeah.
her that, told
you. You can't do anything without me.
Yeah.
If I leave, your life's going to crumble. The whole love thing, the whole relationship with Gwen, Joe Beth Williams' character, okay, again, like we've said, if they had that heart-to-heart, that's
mm-hmm.
fine. But everything else with his police work,
yeah.
with his life, letting him, you know, have a, I'll let you live your life, Joey.
Yeah.
Okay? I love you. I'll let you live your life. And Joe makes changes on his own.
Yeah.
That's fine. The story can still suck, but at least
yeah.
he has those things. Nothing gets done without Tootie telling Joe to do it.
Yeah.
There's no change made without Tootie telling Joe to make the change and, you know, imposing her will on Joe in a way.
Yeah.
And he doesn't put his foot down because when he does, she bites back.
She gets defensive.
And then he, like,
she victimizes herself.
Yeah.
She's like, don't talk to your mother that way.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the issue with this movie.
Yeah.
It suffers from, you know, taking something that could have been fun,
yeah.
a buddy cop movie with Sylvester Stallone and Estelle Getty, and let her be Sophia, let
yeah.
Sly try to be the macho action dude, and
yeah.
she's kind of undermining that in a way, but he
yeah.
still prevails in ways and
yeah.
you know, kind of changing his life. But they didn't do that.
No.
And also, they made the mistake of not making really any character endearing.
No. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And the ending, I know this isn't what they're going for, but like you had said, where the Wikipedia plot goes, it just jumps right to the very end.
Yeah.
When you talk about the person being on America's Most Wanted that Tootie's really trying to be like, Joe, go get him. Like, that's at the very end after the big conflict
yeah.
is resolved with the bad guy. They're in an airport. It's
sending her back to Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. It's implied that, not implied, the Gwen shows the engagement ring, but
yeah.
Joe and Gwen are going to get married
yeah.
and Tootie's like, you know, she'll be back in a couple weeks or in
yeah.
a month or something, whatever. And Joe and Gwen are trying to talk to her and she's like, Joe, like that man right there, I recognize him. It's like this sketchy character in the airport.
Yeah.
She's like, I've seen him on America's Most Wanted. And he starts running away. She's like, you stop right there. My son's a cop. And like
yeah.
Joe runs after him and he
yeah.
takes him. He arrests him. And she's like, Joe, I recognize Joe, he was on America's Most Wanted. Let's see. So once Sly apprehends the perp, Tootie says, Joe, I know what he did. He shot his mother. And then we freeze frame on Joe smirking as if to say, that's not a bad idea.
That's a pretty good idea.
Alan Silvestri does the score as well.
Yeah.
And it's a boring score,
it's
too.
It's like the same song the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple things here and there, but like, and they're kind of like the main themes in weird spots. Like
yeah. we're getting into the climax of the movie, but it feels like it's the end of the movie. Yeah. Like when he goes through the first time, goes to retrieve his mom after he reads her note or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they're the music that's playing and they're back and forth. I'm like, I feel like this should be the last scene of the movie.
Yeah.
Like kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But even like in the bits of comedy, mm-hmm. like hijinks, slapstick, stuff like that, take my annoyance with their relationship out of it. It's just not funny.
No, it's like,
I
mean,
sit there and like
not.
I see what they're trying to do, mm-hmm. and the execution is how it's supposed to be, mm-hmm. but this just isn't funny.
There's the credit I will give is there are, you know,
just from a comedy standpoint, yeah. not oh, yeah, from like a mental health, emotional
no,
standpoint,
yeah, it's
like how I was saying, like it's just, the intrusiveness isn't funny. Like, no, the comedic beats aren't funny.
Yeah. A few things just to give it just the tiniest sliver of credit. We kind of mentioned some of the glimmers. Like, yeah. there's maybe one or two moments where the back and forth with Joe and Tootie are nice. And then there's the moment, the problem with you is on paper is usually effective, but like we said, how it's ineffective in this case. There's a couple moments exchanged between the two of them. I like Tootie's interaction with the fat arms dealer, not when she's buying the gun from him, but when they're at Joe's apartment. There's that
house. It's a house.
No, it's a house, but like it's kind of like a duplex type deal.
I always just saw it as a house.
It looks like a house, but I think it's seen. I think it's addressed as an apartment.
Okay.
I like Joe Beth Williams. I just like Joe Beth Williams.
Yeah.
That's a given. Mm-hmm. Tootie says something after she shoots the bad guy to incapacitate him, and Joe's like, "Mom, you shut the perp," or something like that. She's like, "No shit."
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was funny delivery. Yeah. There's the part with the arms dealer, and then that was what I wanted.
Yeah.
That's the Tootie I would have liked to have seen, the Sophia-esque.
Yeah, rough around the edges.
Yeah.
You see where Joe got it from.
Yeah. Like, stuff like that. Not everything we just talked about. Yeah. Like, that's the Tootie I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah, they pull up to, because initially she goes to a gun store and is mm-hmm. going to buy a gun legally, but there's a 2-week like grace period mm-hmm. or whatever. She's like, "But I need it today." Mm-hmm. And the taxi driver pulls up. It's like, "You sure you're going to be okay here, lady?" She's like, "I'm from Jersey. I'll be fine."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, that's like, I like that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But the rest of it is just like, just the worst.
Yeah. It's not a great movie.
No.
Not a lot going for it. Well, I'll tell you what's going for it. It's only 88 minutes.
That's a big thing.
I think that really lends to the fact that, like we said earlier, this movie's just nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like nothing.
No. And it's not streaming. Like, it's streaming, but you have to pay, everywhere you can stream it, you have to pay for
Amazon
it.
Amazon Prime is up the rentals, the $4.79. It used to be $3.99.
Yeah. So I had to pay money to watch this movie.
Yeah. If you really must, you can find it on Prime,
YouTube, I think Voodoo.
You can pay for it on YouTube. Yeah. But don't waste your time.
Honestly, don't.
Yeah. It's not a good movie.
I know we're describing things in there and you're like, "Oh, that sounds like cute or
it's
whatever."
Not.
It's really, I'm telling you, the execution is bad. The characters are bad.
I think the only people who would find what Estelle Getty is doing, the only people who would find it funny are the people who do that themselves and don't see an issue with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can't help yourself, don't say we didn't warn you.
Yeah, if you're on some sort of journey to watch every Sylvester Stallone movie, mm-hmm. fine.
He won't even want you watching this.
No, he contends this is the worst movie he's ever made. He said it's one of the worst movies in the entire galaxy.
Yeah.
Like, including alien movies we haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm. Which I hope,
like,
one of these
movies made by aliens, not the alien movies.
I would love to see a movie made by an alien based upon their observations of humans.
Yeah.
Or no, based upon what they think humans would do. Kind of like how you get some of these foreign directors directing movies and directing American movies and telling American actors to do what they think Americans do.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
But that's Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah.
It's a horrible movie. Also, the credit I'll give
like
it.
To call it Stop.
Yeah, exactly. Just listen to the first part of the title
and stop.
Yeah.
But again, also the credit I will give it, and this really isn't a high bar, mm-hmm. it's not Bratz the movie.
Yes, that is still the worst movie I've ever seen.
If you watch, if you listen to Sucktastic Cinema, you heard that Bratz the movie was, by our consensus with one another, the worst movie we've ever seen.
Yeah, and we watched Biodome for that show. Yeah.
But it's not Bratz.
Yep.
Which again, it's not saying much, but at least what the credit I will give Bratz is at least made me feel something.
Yeah.
This made me feel nothing.
Honestly, I was like, I mean, it's over. I don't really, even though we just got done talking about how we felt.
Oh yeah, but just but
it was that weird feeling of like, I felt those things, but like at the end, I'm like, I didn't. Upon first watch, I was like, I didn't hate it, but I also didn't love it. So I don't feel anything.
I texted you. I was like, because I started at like 4:40 on a Friday afternoon. I was like, I know I did something from 4:40 to 6:10, but I might as well have just been like taking a nap.
Yeah.
Like that's
exactly.
This movie is one long nap.
Yeah. I probably could have dreamed up a better movie.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you all don't dream up a better episode and think this one is good enough.
Yes.
Thank you all for joining us. Next week is our last entry in Sly July. What movie will we be doing? I think we're still sticking with Tango and Cash.
Cool.
Let's end this strong.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we also will be getting Kurt Russell.
Yes.
And that's always a plus in my book.
I agree 1,000,000,000%.
Yes. And until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.